Welcome to Triad Arts Up Close. I'm David Ford. This morning, it's the art of gardening on Triad Arts Up Close. Diane Ott Wheely is co-founder and vice president of Seed Savers Exchange, the nation's leading nonprofit organization dedicated to saving and sharing heirloom seeds. It all began back in 1975 with just a few seeds, and it's grown to include over 600 varieties of vegetables, flowers, herbs, and plants, including 74 types of tomatoes. Today, Seed Savers has more than 13,000 members. Diane's new book, Heirloom Gardening in a Modern World, The Seed Savers Story, is about the exchange and its mission to save North America's garden heritage for future generations. She's bringing her message of hope to Old Salem Museums and Gardens with a dinner on March 12th hosted by Beta Verde, Home Sown Productions, a lecture in Gray Auditorium on March 13th at 6:30, followed by a book signing and tasting local heirlooms in the concourse. And on Wednesday morning, the 14th at 11 o'clock, Diane will sign books at the Horton Center Rotunda, followed by a local feast in the Mesda Auditorium at 11:30. You'll find links to more information at wfdd.org/triadarts. Back in February, Diane spoke with me by phone from her farm in Iowa.
I'll begin then with my visits to my grandparents' farm, which probably shaped my future more than I ever thought it would at the time. But I grew up in the northeast corner of Iowa and very rural with small farms. My grandparents' farm was about 5 miles from where the dairy farm that I grew up on. So a really strong childhood memory were trips down to visit my grandparents on summer evenings. My dad would come in from milking and he'd say, we should, you know, go down and see how Grandpa and Grandma are doing. And that was just always a real fun evening. We'd take the back roads up and wind back to his farm through cornfields and along the river and up past his sawmill. And the road was called the Bass Creek Hill. I thought that was just so much fun to go to his house and my grandmother's. And we would come into his yard and we'd pile out of the car. The first thing we did was look at his gardens in the summer. And they would have four or five different gardens scattered throughout their yard. And they were so proud of their gardens. I mean, they grew a family of 9 children during the Depression. And my grandmother's grocery list was vinegar, sugar, flour, coffee, and a few spices. And everything else was raised from their land and what their hands could produce. So looking back at it now, I think what a ideal life. Most people are trying to get back to that today, and they were doing it out of necessity, but they were also enjoying it. But anyway, we would end our evenings on the porch, and my grandfather would have morning glories that he had trained up alongside of the east side of the porch, but he'd leave an opening, a square or circle or triangle, so we could sit on the porch and we'd watch cars go by, and he'd have stories like, you know, they're late for milking again, or they never stay home, and I wonder where she's going now. You know, so I was just sitting there listening to my grandfather's loud, robust voice. And, you know, it was just my cozy morning glory room. So when I had my first garden with my then husband, Kent Whaley, we decided we needed to have some morning glories growing on our porch. When we went down to visit him, we asked him for some of the seed, and he was very happy. He handed us a little white pillbox full of black morning glory seeds, and he said that his parents had brought the seed over from Bavaria when they immigrated in the late 1800s. So, you know, so I'm holding this box of seeds and thinking, I never even thought about great-grandparents or where they lived and what their life was like. And so here I'm holding a box of seeds that is a living connection to a family that I hadn't ever met. And later that winter, he passed away, and Kent and I realized what a gift he had really given us. And if he hadn't given us that seed, it might have been lost, and the story lost as well. And he also gave us some great tomato, German pink tomato seeds. So at that time, also, you know, there was a lot of fuss about hybrids, and everybody wanted to grow hybrid seeds in their garden because they thought they were new and improved, and they had to be better than the older varieties of open-pollinated seeds. So a lot of seed companies were dropping heirloom open-pollinated seeds from their catalogs, so a lot of those seeds are disappearing. Also, larger seed companies were buying out smaller seed companies, so there was a consolidation in the seed industry at that time. And I think the small farms were being replaced with larger commercial farming projects. So there was I think it was a critical time. That was around 1975 when we started Seed Savers, because we saw all these dangers around us, and we thought if we, you know, it was up to us to save my grandfather's seed, but also start a nonprofit and maybe be available for other folks to send their seed to us to maintain as well.
Well, I'm wondering, Diane, if you could put into perspective just how important this work is in terms of, you know, what we stand to lose without it.
Well, I mean, when we lose a seed, we lose a lot of genetic diversity. And, I mean, if the variety disappears, we're losing something that was part of our culture, part of our diversity. And that was happening at an accelerated speed at that time. So we wanted to save all the pieces because there was this, when immigrants came into this country, they brought with them a wealth of seeds because they did not know what they'd find here to plant in their gardens, and they wanted to have the foods that they were accustomed to from their homeland. So they brought with them a lot of seed into this country. And it was during that time when a lot of these elderly farmers were passing away or moving off the farm, you know, and there was a huge amount of genetic diversity in these family heirlooms that we were losing. So there was a lot of things contributing to it. Plus, it just instinctively was the right thing to do.
Sure. Diane, what kind of reactions have you had from folks attending the book signings? What are readers saying? Because you've got a whole lot of activities planned here in Winston-Salem.
Yeah, it's been so encouraging to meet so many people out there that are really trying to contribute in some way to their food, to their culture, to their environment. And, you know, I tell people so often, we can save the seeds, and we will save all these seeds, but it's you, the gardener, who can grow them. We can't grow gardens all over the country to keep this seed viable and growing again. So I've been enjoying it. I've met some incredible people, and that's the one thing. I know that we'll never probably be short of wonderful seeds and wonderful people. That's the theme that kind of goes through Seed Savers, I think, are seeds and people and stories and the stories that bring them together. And I'm so looking forward to my visit to Old Salem Museums and Gardens. It's coming up quicker than I want to think about.
I think things will just be shooting up then around here, and their gardens is just spectacular. And I know you've inspired a lot of people in this area in terms of the slow food movement in this neck of the woods, and with lots of activities leading up to the big book signing event.
And I'm so excited about the food aspect of what we do. I mean, that's what it's all about. Seeds produce the food that sustains us. You know, sometimes I think when things seem a little bit out of our control, the one thing we can control a little bit is our garden and what we grow in our garden and what seeds we grow in our garden. You know, everyone can make a contribution to make our world a better place, that's for sure. One seed at a time, one garden at a time. It's definitely a group effort.
My thanks to co-founder and vice president of Seed Savers Exchange, avid gardener, and author Diane Ott Wheatley. Diane's new book, Heirloom Gardening in a Modern World, The Seed Savers Story, tells the story of the exchange and its mission to save North America's garden heritage for future generations. And she'll be at Old Salem Museums and Gardens to talk about it on Tuesday, March 13th and Wednesday, the 14th, with lectures, workshops, book signings, and some of the best slow food the Piedmont has to offer. You'll find links to the complete goings-on at Old Salem on our website, wfdd.org/triadarts. I'm David Ford. Thanks for joining me today for Triad Arts Up Close.